This episode is brought to you in part by Thomas Nelson, publisher of Now and Not Yet. Pressing in when you're waiting, wanting, and restless for more. Written and narrated by best-selling author Ruth Cho Simons and is available everywhere audiobooks are sold.
You're listening to the Enneagram and Marriage Podcast. I'm your host, Krista Harden, and I'm so glad you showed up for our relationship chat today, as well as for you and your people. We're all about living intentionally here so you can experience joy and balance in your relationships once again or for the very first time. Be sure you hang with us on our social media platforms, and if you like research like I do, make sure you check out our website at enneagramandmarriage.com for our weekly newsletter, freebies, and so much more, as well as at Instagram and Facebook. We have so many goodies to share with you. Let's dive right in together. Hello, guys. Thank you so much for chatting with me today. I'm so grateful you are here with us for the Enneagram and Marriage Pod. Today, we get to talk to author Matthew Stephen Brown about finding hope in hard times, even miracles at times. We are so busy usually scanning for negativity as humans. It is beautiful to hear him talk about hope and faith and bringing these features in, which sometimes I honestly forget to talk about here at Enneagram and Marriage as I'm hacking away at all these thinking strategies with you and for us. So very thankful that he could share with us from the Enneagram heart space, as well as from the head space and the body space too, as you'll find him sharing vulnerably about his 3-6 marriage. You may remember him bringing his wife Tammy on earlier when they shared their Enneagram book. And today we get to talk to just him about his new journey with sharing hope through his newer book, as well as just through his stories. He's got a great storytelling feature today that we get to glean from as he brings hope to us as viewers, listeners, and reminds us to scan for goodness and to seek God for that too. Now, if you're not a person of faith, then maybe you'll tune into this episode for just a sense of hope and having a general faith. But if you are a person of faith in Christ, you might also find this extra encouraging. So let's talk to Matthew now. Matt, thank you so much for joining us for the Enneagram and Marriage Podcast today. We're so happy to have you.
Thank you. It's so good to be back on the show. I think I was on like 3 years ago.
Yes, with Tammy. How are you guys doing in your 3-6 pairing?
Yeah, we're doing great. You know, there's always challenges there. One's afraid of failure. One's afraid of everything. So
yes. Oh my gosh. You guys are such a great pair. But like you said, you know your issues of depth. And you guys have an Enneagram book under your belt, in addition to the new book we've already talked about as we intro'd today. And we'll get into more. But remind everybody, if they missed that episode, just a little bit about your type pairing. And you already gave us a hint of it, just in terms of some of the highs and the lows.
So I'm a 3, she's a 6, but my take on the Enneagram is a little different. And so what I tell people is, like, if I was inviting you to my house in California, I would give you my address. And, you know, the pushback on the Enneagram, I'm not a number. And this is what I tell people. Yeah. Right. No one's a number, but I'm going to give you a list of numbers and they're going to help you find me. That's my address. Mm-hmm. And so just for your listeners who are, you know, into the Enneagram, what I tell people is I'm a 3, 7, 8, 1. And those numbers play together. Mm-hmm. And they don't always play nice. You know, my 1 is my 4th highest. When I look at the percentages, I'm way high on the 3, but I also have, you know, unhealthy 7 and unhealthy 8. Yeah. And so those numbers play together. And my wife is really almost tied 6-1. Mm-hmm. So I have this referee that's afraid constantly, you know, and so that's where we are. Yeah. And so what I have to do is, we have to work really, really hard together. And so in marriage, mm-hmm. I want to feel like I'm winning. That's the most important thing. And so when I get discouraged and I feel like there's no way to win, I shut down. And so in our worst moments, I'll say, I feel like I'm married to the ref.
Yeah. You
know, 'cause that's the high 1. Mm-hmm. But her 1 and 6 play together because when she feels like the rules are being followed, she feels secure. Mm. When the rules are violated, she feels insecure. And, you know, my 3, 7, 8, right. I'm visionary. So I'm looking around corners and, you know, where she just sees the wall. And so we have to really, really work on that together. I would say to all your listeners, it's a constant, mm-hmm. struggle, but it's good. You know, the Bible says as iron sharpens iron. So one person sharpens another. Mm-hmm. And, the way she would say it is, you know, I'm visionary, in the future. So I'm always out there, not present. She's very, very present, but has a hard time thinking, in the future. And so we talk about it like I'm this balloon and she's the string, and together we move where we go. But with, without me, she's just got a string going nowhere. But without her, I'm this balloon floating. And a lot of charismatic visionary leaders, they're terrible at home. They're not good to their families. And I don't want to be that person. So.
Thank you for just starting us off with such raw honesty about, we're talking years of marriage. You guys have been together, raised your children.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And your kids have gotten the best of both and the worst of both. But like you said, you have made each other better. You have a huge impact in the world together. So
Yeah.
thank you for doing that hard work at times. And also just being honest that for most of us, what we've come to see on our podcast here is about 80% of us, this work is ongoing and it's not just, okay, it's super easy. So thanks for also sharing that part.
Yeah. I have to have a conversation with an eight on and my staff, and they constantly refer to themselves as a healthy eight. And I just want to be like, look, we don't all operate in health. So,
Most of us, right?
with eights, you gotta bleed a little bit. You gotta push through. And so, and I like working with eights, but so it's just interesting. And so our kids, my oldest is a nine, my middle is a four, so that's super fun. And then my son, who looks like me, is a five. And so that's the thing that's so confusing. He is not me. And I have to tell myself all the time, he's God's kid. Say, oh yeah. Yeah. So I have this exuberant, just large personality, and he just like goes into like his sea anemone, he's just whoo.
Yeah. Now that's fascinating to me, Matt, that you guys, we have two withdrawing types out of three. You have three withdrawing type children to go with your big 3, 7, 8 and her 1, 6. Fascinating. So you have all the triads represented, aggressive, assertive for those who are following us, compliant, and then with the kids, the withdrawing. And again, there's so many different blessings that come out of that, right? Like withdrawing types, kids know how to set their boundaries. They know how to look within and take their own time. And so there's so much we learn from each other. But all of us, when we fall down, we all need support sometimes from each other. And to be really clear here, I sometimes forget to say on this podcast, we need it from God too. So this month and always, I always try to throw in when I get in my thinking type brain and forget this matter. Gosh, if everyone can just hear you and me saying we have to rely on God all the time, right?
Right. Oh, amen.
Oh,
Amen.
my gosh. Yeah. Which is where your book's going to come in. And I can't wait to talk about that. I want to say, I see with your book topic, we're going to be talking about miracles. Can you tell us just what you really felt like was the heart of why you wanted to write this book? This, is it the problem of pain that we know about from C.S. Lewis and other writers? Is it that you saw the church hurting?
Yeah, so we were going through COVID. We lost so many people in our church to COVID, and it was really, really hard. So many funerals, so much suffering, and COVID, like all disease, makes no sense. I think that's the problem with Christians is we try to make sense. And what sin does, if there's a God who is good, sin and disease doesn't make sense. And what I think it creates in us is a longing for something else. And so, this isn't the end. This isn't the end all be all. There is a return of Christ. There is a resurrection that we're longing for and hoping for. And so, for your listeners who aren't Christian, I just want them to know there's always hope. I think so many of us, when we're pursuing healing in our marriage, healing in our lives, we run to the extent of what human beings can do. And in my book, for the people who have read it, there's this gal in my church, Natasha, who battled cancer for 10 years. She got it in high school. Was told, no big deal. You're going to do some treatments and be fine. And here she is, 30 years old, not fine. And the book wouldn't allow me to use the hospital name, but I'm going to use it. It's the City of Hope is the premier cancer institution in California. Fantastic doctors, fantastic people. And just so I want your listeners to think, when the City of Hope says, what do you do? And so for your listeners who are like, man, we've done the like, right? We've worked this through, we've been to counseling. And oftentimes what couples do is they choose divorce. Well, we've done everything we can do. And so what I would say is, okay, well, is there room for God to do something? Is there room for the miraculous? And I think oftentimes as thinking people, working people, you're a clinician, get so in the weeds of our work that we fail to leave room for Jesus. And so chapter one of the book, I'll get to Natasha in a second, just talks about these four friends who have a friend that's paralyzed. And Jesus is talking in this house, and they're going to do whatever they can to get him to Jesus. And why is that? Because they did everything they could. Like, doctors couldn't heal him. And so that's what I would say to your listeners is, the Enneagram, and I said this in a book called You, the Enneagram can help you, but only Jesus can truly heal you. And so I think what the Enneagram shows best is our wounds. And so it shows me, okay, Lord, I need you to, as a three, Lord, can you take away this unhealthy need for achievement? Because here's the thing about achievement, it's never satisfied. I think we all have a category for lust. So, if you're an eight, you go, okay, well, lust is never satisfied. Well, no sin is ever satisfied. And so that's the problem with it. And so, Lord, take this burden away from me and help me to be secure in what I've done and who you've created me to be. And I am so unhealthy with achievement rather than effort. And what God wants is my best. And then I got to let him have the rest. So Natasha, she was told there's no hope. She was literally said, her doctor said, you're just unlucky. So, right. So in medicine, right, it's all percentages, it's biology, you're this car and we're going to try to fix everything. And then if we just can't, we just kind of throw our hands up in the air. Okay. And she came to me and just said, will you pray for me for healing? And I, to be honest with you, I was like, we've done this. I mean, I've known this girl.
Yeah, for all
She was
these.
a swimmer in high school. I'm like, okay, Lord, here we go again, right? And in that prayer, she started praying. And I call it the soul cry in the book, where everything is removed. We don't care how we sound. We don't care what we look like. We're just talking to God. And all of a sudden, I go from being her pastor to just a witness of a holy moment.
Mm.
And man, God healed her that day. And she's still with us. I wrote this book last year. We prayed together in 2019, and she was set told she has 3 weeks to live. She showed me a picture of her body, and I wanted to put it in the book, but it's a woman's body, and you can tell, it's an MRI. And I just, at the end of the day, I'm like, look, I can't put this picture, but I wanted people to see what she showed me. And she, you just think of this, she's an Asian woman, this tiny Asian woman, and she looked like a Dalmatian dog. So when you think of the MRI, right, all the black spots on a Dalmatian dog. So on a Dalmatian dog, right, that's beauty. When you're looking at an MRI, that's cancer. Black spots are everywhere, particularly around her heart, her lungs, her liver, her pancreas, everything you need to function, right? And I just felt so hopeless, but I'm going to pray. And we prayed, and God answered her prayer. And she's alive today. Actually, she gave me a tour. We got new offices at our church, and she gave me a tour. And what I would say to your audience is, when we come to the end of ourselves, we're ready for the beginning of Jesus. And I know you're listening. I know, I know, I know. And so the whole first chapter is, look, there's more to know about Jesus than you know. And what I love about that first chapter is the disciples who knew him personally, they got VIP access, right? They're front row. They eat with him, they sleep with him, they walk with him, they talk with him. They get on that Sea of Galilee and there's a storm, and they say this. It's the greatest question we can ever ask. Who is this that even the wind and the waves?
This episode is brought to you in part by Beyond Ordinary Women Ministries, which prepares Christian women for leadership. At BOW, we believe that every woman is a leader because she influences someone. So, whom do you influence? Do you mentor a woman, serve in the workplace, or do you lead a small group, teach the Bible, or even lead an entire ministry? No matter who or how many you influence, our free online resources will help equip you. Our videos, podcast episodes, and articles from experienced women leaders will encourage you and perfect your leadership skills. They offer wisdom for dealing with ministry pitfalls, current biblical issues, health for your own soul, and insights for shepherding others well. In addition, BOW offers Bible studies designed to connect women of multiple generations. They provide a challenge to both women new to the Bible and those wanting to dig deeper. Be our guest. and browse all of our free resources and low-cost Bible studies at beyondordinarywomen.org.
And I, if we as Christians, you know, we think we're telling the world about Jesus. Mm-hmm. I wish in doing that, we could remain humble and keep asking questions about Jesus. Who is this?
Yeah.
And so the book is two things. One, it's my journey into the miraculous. Mm-hmm. And two, I think it will be the reader's safe journey into the miraculous. And so I think it will help two groups. So it's going to help the Baptists like me, right? So we believe in God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Scripture. So we tend to forget the Holy Spirit and the miraculous. So mm-hmm. So that group, I think it's going to lay theological groundwork to trust the movement of the Spirit and to say, okay, God is in the business of doing miraculous. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, the name it and claim it, all those people that have been wounded and told your aunt died because you didn't have faith, right? There's a lot of wounding there.
Yeah.
I think this will help them to understand that God can say no. Mm-hmm. And we know that because he said no to Jesus. Mm-hmm. Jesus asked, Lord, mm-hmm. if there is any other way than this death. And ultimately, mm-hmm. when think about your couples that are praying for against divorce. You're praying, Lord, I don't want this marriage to die. Mm-hmm. So what we're saying is, God, if there's any other way. Mm-hmm. But sometimes marriages fail. Sometimes people die. Children die. There are terrible things that happen in this life, but God is still God and he is still good. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things I'm excited about this book is I put a QR code at the end of every chapter where they can interact with me at the end of the chapter. And the toughest chapter to write was when God said no. Mm-hmm. And so there's a little nugget in there for the people who get the book. Mm-hmm. There's something so beautiful about how God helps us process pain, and it's only in the QR code. So, yeah.
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
You know the publishing industry. They're a little averse to new. So,
yes, I do. I do personally get that. So, but what you're really reminding us is that you care for the person and you have had such experience. I think people forget that sometimes about pastors because they forget they're not just at church all shiny and new each week with a new sermon. They're doing funerals behind the scenes. They're walking through grief. There's a lot of heaviness and emotionality. And you're saying we can't just have our wonderful tools and our scriptures. We need the Holy Spirit. We need to let God in. And that's what I really honestly forget when I'm in my headspace of sometimes this podcast and Enneagram work. But whenever I create a practice or get deeper with my clients, we have to go there because that is what is the change agent. And those who know the Enneagram well, as you do, they know that there's room for God in the Enneagram because we can't always achieve our virtues on our own. We just can't do it. So yeah. When we remind clients, listeners, your marriage has answers beyond you, it offers them that reminder. You're allowed to go to that place of prayer with Christ and you're allowed to fall on your knees, like you said, in any way you are. You don't have to be dressed up. You don't have to be at church. You can be shouting. You can be whispering. You can just be in your head and you get this permission and even this beautiful relationship to be a child of God. And I think that people forgot that somewhere along the way with church hurt. So thank you.
Yeah.
You have a time where you had to do that too, where you had to, and maybe that's what you said is the QR, but I was wondering if you've had times where you're like, God has said no to me too.
Yeah. So chapter 3 is waking up to the miraculous. And so in my mid 30s, the wheels fell off. So I'm 52, and so, and that's the thing about health, man. It doesn't just, you can abuse your body, you can abuse your mind, your heart for so long, and then it just unravels. And so what I would say to all your listeners is you didn't screw up your life in one decision. Sometimes that happens, but usually it's like you don't gain 100 pounds.
Yeah.
You're probably not going to lose 100 pounds in a week. It's going to take time to take things off. And so I just came to the end of myself in my mid-30s, and I was not okay. Mm. And I was having all these voice problems. Mm. I mean, I would preach on the weekend, and I literally would – I can't sign, but I would use my hands and whistle to my kids and I wouldn't be able to speak until Thursdays. And so I went through all, you know, voice therapy, voice training. Wow. And finally I went to a ear, nose and throat doctor and he said, hey, let's take an MRI. Mm. And there was a mass for your people who were watching. There was a mass on my throat and wow. He just said, it's not good.
Yeah.
So we need to do surgery. And so here I am I'm like 30, I think I'm 32 or 33 years old. And so the internet, right, is new and fresh. So I did what everybody does. I Google.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
She's just spitting out pastor after pastor that died of throat cancer. So I'm not good. I'm a mess. I lost my mind. I'm not proud. I talk about this in the book. I'm not proud of what I did, but I decided to take a vow of silence. So they said, we're going to do surgery in 10 days. And I just said, I'm going to go and be silent for 10 days. And, so I leave the word cancer hanging in the air because the doctor said there's a chance this could be cancer, but we won't know until we biopsy the mass. So imagine I got two toddlers. I got a wife who's a six. And I leave. So I had a panic attack, like just massive panic attack. And I was mad at God. And so I leave and I went to Palm Springs. Her grandparents owned a house in Palm Springs. And so it's not far from us. Palm Springs is beautiful in the winter. And I went out there and just really got angry with God. And, what I would tell people is, I didn't hear from God. And it every day got worse and worse and worse and worse. Just your listeners will get this. Because I didn't want to say his name in the book because I don't want people to feel like I'm all important. But I was out in Palm Springs and I wouldn't talk to Tammy on the phone. I said, we can email. And she got so frustrated day eight, she just said, I'm not going to do this anymore. And so Rick Warren, pastor of Saddleback Church, emailed me and said, hey, I heard about your surgery. God is with you. Learn whatever you can. And that whole chapter is God is with you. And you need to learn whatever you can. So, in your Enneagram journey, on your marriage journey, God's with you. And for your listeners, he's for your marriage. He's not against your marriage. And just remind yourself of that. And so, in chapter three, right, I go and have surgery and I wake up and the story's a little more dramatic in the book, but basically I asked the doctor, was the surgery a success? And he goes, no. And I was like, I was not prepared for that. And I said, no. And he said, yeah, we found nothing, Matt. Your tumor's gone. And I said, how can that be? And the surgeon said, you're a pastor. You tell me. Right? So yeah, that's where, I just really got to the end of myself. And as a pastor, God doesn't need me, but he does want me. And what I learned is he doesn't just want me because I can speak. He wants me because he loves me and he sent Christ to die on the cross for me. And on your healing journey, just know that, God wants to do a miracle in you. And I say this in the book over and over again. It may not be the miracle you want, but it will be the miracle you need. So
Thank
here
you.
I am, a Baptist kid, right? And I've just been healed. And I don't know that it was cancer. I don't want to confuse your listeners, but but yeah.
No, you've shared enough to say, hey, look, I know sometimes God chooses to take somebody. I know there sometimes is a cancer, but I also want people to leave room for miracles. And one of my couples from about 10 years back actually helped me with that when I was like, oh, Gottman says that there's unsolvable problems for every couple. And they really like, we still laugh about that when they occasionally need services today because they're like, we always bring that back. Like, you guys taught me that there were miracles that God could do in your marriage that John Gottman could never foresee. And so that's really cool that you can remind us of that too. And I know every listener probably has story on both sides, which is very important, where they have some things that they are allowed to see. This is where God intervened. And then some moments where they're like, God allowed something hard. Before we end, I just wanted to ask one more important question. What about when our spouse won't walk with us into that journey and we're just asking for them to have believe with us or to look for a miracle with us, but they're in a dark spot because they're having a hard days. What do you do when that happens with you or Tammy or your parishioners?
There's so many couples like that in my church where one's on a spiritual journey and one isn't. And so what I would just say as plead with your spouse as a spouse, like, hey, this is an area where I need you to walk with me on that. And so my wife and I were praying with a couple, and the wife was a believer and the husband was Jewish. And she just was battling mental and losing a mental health battle. And it was hard to watch. And there's crazy that doesn't know they're crazy, and then there's that tormented place where you realize you're losing it. And she was on the side where the wheels were coming off. And I asked him, I said, would you be willing to let me pray over your wife in the name of Jesus? He said, yeah. I said, would you join me in praying over your wife in the name of Jesus? And here's the thing, he jumped up out of his chair and he came over and laid hands. So he doesn't accept Jesus as the Messiah, but he loves his wife. And so here's the thing is, just say to your spouse, hey, this is important to me, and I believe. And would you join me in this as an act of intimacy and an act of love as I do this? And so here's the thing is, we don't know what God's going to do. I don't know what God's going to do. And so I say this over and over and over in the book. Faith is not believing in what God will do. Faith is believing in what he can do. And I beat that drum throughout the book. Jesus is so offended by the father whose son has epilepsy. And he says, heal him if you can. And Jesus's retort is, if I can. Yeah, I mean, it offends him. Now, we don't know if he will, you can. And so it's the same thing that when the ship is sinking in the Sea of Galilee, they say, God, don't you care? And he says, why do you have such little faith? It's just like, you don't believe I can change this? And so what I would say is invite your unbelieving spouse or the person who's been hurt by the church. Because I talk about that in my chapter on emotional wounds. I've been hurt by people in the church. So invite them in just as a spouse and say, join me in this. Don't make them pray. Don't be like, my husband doesn't have faith or my wife, but say, it's just like the Enneagram. You remember when you first learned about it? My wife didn't know about it. So I have to invite her into this. So just humbly and be okay with, okay, you may not believe this, but would you join me in this and sit silently as I pray? Just know that God can move in your spouse in the same way. I think about a man in our church, Grandpa Jack, and I know we're wrapping up, but he never went to church. He never believed, just not interested in God. He was that guy. I can worship God in my own backyard with a beer. He was that guy. Well, his wife fell and broke her hip. And she'd been a wonderful wife for 50 years, and she could no longer drive herself to church. And here's the thing, she said, I can't drive to church on my own. Would you take me? And I tell you what he told me. He wouldn't use this language, but he heard it. I would say the Holy Spirit punched him in the face. He said, I heard God say, you jerk. She has been so good to you. So good to you your whole life. Be a husband. Sorry, the dog snoring. Be a husband and take your wife to church. He did. And at the end of service, guess who gave his life to Christ?
Oh my goodness, Grandpa Jack.
Yep, Jack Calking.
Oh my
Life to Christ. And so it was through his spouse's need,
God.
suffering, that God led him to Jesus. And
Wow.
so that's the thing is oftentimes just, you've been married. Intimacy is so great and so hard. It's so hard to be intimate because we are vulnerable, sharing what hurts, what's wrong, what's going on. Be vulnerable with your spouse and invite them into that and say, I need a miracle. And here's what I would say. If you need a miracle, what do you have to lose? You might not get one, but what do you have to lose? And so that's why I encourage people to pray. It's just like, look, I don't know what God will do, but I know what he can do. And I have seen God do amazing, amazing things. And in the last chapter, I was actually on a medical mission trip. So I'm around doctors, anesthesiologists, and surgeons, and they gave up. They asked me to pray over this little guy. He was 18 months old, cleft palate surgery, and he never came out of anesthesia. So he never woke up. 8 hours, no breathing, no heartbeat. But I got to pray over him, and he woke up. When I said, I don't mean like an hour later. I mean, Jesus, heal him. I don't remember exactly what I said because I was really scared. But I said, we did this. Help us fix this. Bring this boy back in Jesus' name. And he woke up. There was a doctor, the surgeon who had performed the surgery, not a Christian. And you know what he said to me? He said, it's just like the stories I remember hearing about the Bible when I was a kid, and he's crying
Oh,
because
wow.
he did everything he could. And as a qualified expert surgeon, he killed this kid on accident. But the good news is we have a God who fixes things. And so, just for your listeners, the editors wanted me to put that in chapter one, and I put it in chapter 12. And here's why. I've only seen that once in my life. So I don't want people to think like, oh, this is just normal. We wouldn't call them miracles. We'd call them normals. Oh, just another normal. And so I experienced that. But, pray for your marriage. Don't just learn the Enneagram. Pray. Pray over each other. It's hard to be two separate individuals. It's hard to become one flesh. And you can know everything about and still fight. We can use it as a tool to like bludgeon each other with, oh, you're such a one. Oh, you're. It's like, okay, wait a minute. I'm a sinner here. I need the Holy Spirit in this. And so I hope this book changes lives. I hope this book reminds people that Jesus still lives and he still heals. And that's for your marriage, for your finances, and for your health.
Thank you. This is just what we need. We do lose hope sometimes, and we need this. And you're a truth teller. You also offer grace, and you understand that people suffer. And you have reminded us today that we can suffer alongside each other. But in that suffering, don't forget, yes, you're building intimacy, but ask for miracles. Believe
Yes.
that God can do them. And
Right.
that is so hard if you're remembering, like, I had church hurt, but it's so easy when you remember what you said. You don't have anything to lose. You're already at the point of needing one. So please ask God. And please try to ask your spouse to join you in that belief, even if it's just in the marriage sense. I love how you reminded us. We have some stories like that in our family as well, some major stories between Wes and I, and even my parents. So we get that too. So tell everybody where they can hear more of these stories that you've shared, that you've penned, that you've given your legacy for. We would love to see that.
So the book is Every Day a Miracle. And so my name is Matt Brown, Matthew Stephen Brown. That's my writing name. And I don't know. I had to choose. That's the name my mama gave me
Oh.
because another Matt Brown that's, he's a little more prominent in the Christian world. So that's why my writing name is Matthew Stephen Brown. They can follow me on Instagram. But they can read this book. And what I would say to your listeners is probably my favorite chapter is when God says no. And it was the hardest chapter to write. So I don't want everybody to think, well, he got miracles. He never gets no's. Oh, I've experienced some really hard no's. And that's probably the most profound chapter. And so, but it's every day a miracle. And so it's trusting the God who heals us inside and out. And right, isn't that our work? That's our life's mission is to experience wholeness and healing. And so, two things, get the book and then share it with a friend. Go on a journey together and just connect. And so every chapter has discussion questions to really work that out. And so I tell my church all the time, sermons inspire, but relationships heal. So,
Oh, that's good. That's a good word for this podcast where we do a lot of thinking to be relational. So thank you, Matt. I
Thank
love
you.
you and Tammy, and I'm
Oh,
so
thank you so much.
glad that you're out there serving the world. Keep it up. I'm coming back.
Yeah, so one of the things I think that's so important for this book for your listeners, right? People that are working on the Enneagram are really pushing towards healing. As we go through the book, we kind of talk about, every prayer God says yes, no, or wait. And so we work through that, and I think people kind of know that. And then I get into where, someone like you and myself that's really interested in the whole person, I talk about the complex nature of healing. And so part of the reason is, why don't we just get better? Because we're complex. And I actually unpack the story of Legion, where Jesus encounters the man who has many demons. And so in California, we are overrun with mentally ill, drug addicted, and in some cases, demon possessed. And so I look at that story. And so one of the things that I wish, my hope for this book is that doctors would reconsider what it looks like to heal, and pastors and Christians would reconsider. Because as Christians, sometimes you don't just need prayer, you need medication and you need counseling. And doctors need to know we're not machines. Sometimes we need prayer and spiritual awakening. And so I unpack that. And so there's a chapter on spiritual healing.
Thank you. That is such a good word for all of us as we really realize that, the cognitive is not enough. Even the somatic body work is not enough. These heart wounds, these shame pieces, these are deep. So thank you for giving us a chapter on that too in Every Day a Miracle, Matt. This is awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you guys so much for being part of this episode journey today. I'm so encouraged by the hopeful reminders, and make sure you check out the show notes for everything Matthew has to offer, including his new book. And just really thank you for being with us today. Make sure you grab one thing that you can take from today's episode and really hold it in your heart. I'm so grateful for this time together with you. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Thank you again for listening with us. It was so wonderful to have you. I love knowing we're doing this journey together, not perfectly, but with love, grace, and hopefully some fun too. If you love today's episode, make sure you leave us a 5-star review at Apple Podcasts or Spotify so others can find it too. Visit our show notes so you can get all the links from today's show, as well as enneagramandmarriage.com, the Instagram, the Facebook, and all over the place. Make sure you spread the word. Love living intentionally with you. Bye-bye.
This episode was brought to you in part by United We Pray. United We Pray is a podcast devoted to praying and thinking about racial strife, especially between Christians. Come join us in praying for the unity of God's people.